You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
When you think everything is someone else's fault, you will suffer a lot. Dalai Lama.
Oh.
Isn't that funny?
I was like, wow, did you just come up with that on your own?
No, April just posted that this morning. I thought that's ironic. Maybe we all... Let's read her caption. It's a natural reaction to want to blame others for the way we feel, for what we think we're lacking. So often, though, it's actually our old wounds reopening, and we're applying them to the current situation or the other person's behavior. April goes on to say, I had to learn this the hard way. When you're unhappy, dissatisfied, longing, or hurting, it's usually you who needs to do some work. But it's tempting as hell to blame or try to change the other person to meet your needs. That won't work. Only working on yourself works. One caveat, if you're with an abuser or narcissist, get out and then do your own work.
Yeah.
Go, April. Go, April. That is, wow. And it's funny she posts that because we've been in our own personal relationship, in our own lives, talking about, that's kind of a mantra we live by. We have a lot of mantras we live by, both in our family and as individuals. One of them is, everything is your fault, meaning ourselves, not me talking to jail. We say, everything is my fault.
Yeah.
And then we also say, how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Yes.
If you're a person who takes the time to bring the grocery cart back into the grocery if there's no carriage holder.
Yeah.
You do everything that way.
Yep.
We apply this to everything.
Yeah.
So, this week I wanted to talk about how everything is your fault. But hey, let's rewind just a little bit and talk about how the podcast was MIA last week. What the fuck happened? Scorpio moon came through. Was it my fault?
If you look, it doesn't have to like specifically be your fault, but if you take ownership like it's your fault, like if you looked back at your podcast, and I'm sure you'll explain, like in the manner in which it all happened, you knew when you did what you were doing that possibly a chance of somebody getting pissy, whatever. Yep. Like, so if you look at it that way, it's like, oh, yeah. Okay, well then I just don't do this in the future and I solve my problem.
Yeah. Oh, so this is the perfect example to start an explanation of what we're talking about with. Last week, you probably noticed the podcast was not up. We did not have an episode. And this is because the platform I use, Podbean, had emailed me a couple Saturdays ago and said, you are being accused of copyright infringement for some of the songs that you used at the end of a podcast in 2018.
Yeah.
And of course, I wanted to be like, fuck off. Like, I've got Lightworkers Lounge Spotify Playlist of the Month. Like, I studied the laws. I asked people about the laws, copyright laws, because I never, as an artist myself, I never want to infringe on anybody else's work or use their work to make money. Like, that's fucking gross. I don't do that. So I've studied, I practiced, and maybe in 2018 I wasn't perfect because that's exactly when the podcast first began and I was just stumbling and learning through the whole process. So I didn't fight it back. I said, well, I've always tried to honor and respect copyright laws. Maybe I slipped up. I'll go ahead and take the hit and delete these episodes off of everything. So, of course, I wanted to be the victim and say, fuck you. No, I'm not. I never use full songs. But when we stop and say, okay, everything is our fault. If I stop, take a deep breath and say, how is this situation my fault?
Mm-hmm.
Because when I used music, I knew growing up with LimeWire, Napster, and all that shit.
Oh my
shit.
God, Napster.
Yes, there. It's music is tough. And so I, in the back of my mind, when I used songs that I loved, I was like, I hope I don't get in trouble for this one day.
But you had that thought.
In that moment, I should have said, I need to go on YouTube and find royalty-free music and do it that way. But I'm so, and people listening know this, I match the songs at the end of episodes to the energy of the episode. That's my emotional manifestor, Pisces North Node coming out. This is what I love. But in that moment, back in 2018 when I first started, there was a little piece of my intuition that said, probably should get some dinky-dinky royalty-free music off YouTube instead of using Post Malone.
Yeah, and the only way for you to really handle that the way you wanted to do it and still give that emotion is to make your own beats and your own music.
Exactly, but I wasn't even at that point then. You're right. So it was my fault. And again, using Podbean, I've always kind of felt as my relationship with them has progressed that I don't like the way they are going. I don't like how they do business. So there's been a piece of my intuition for over a year saying, move on, get your own platform. Don't use them, because for a million reasons. And I've ignored that.
Yeah.
I've ignored that. That intuition, gut feeling has been saying, hey, you know, take your podcast, move it somewhere else. I've ignored it.
Yeah.
So here I am, being completely arms tied behind my back. It was my fault.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part. So part of the it's my fault, it's like the most beautiful thing you'll ever like put forth in your life. But you can't like use it and be like, it's my fault. I'm a piece of shit. It's my fault. I'm blah. Like you can't bash yourself. You just like use it to identify how it was your fault and then move forward with like the solution. I could see how some people would get trapped like in the it's my fault. Oh my God. And like you just go down a rabbit hole of how it was your fault and why it was your fault. But like it's just like a tool to identify how it was your fault so you don't do it again. Because you're only to me, you're only as good as your last mistake in the way that I look at my stuff. And then if you continuously make the same mistake over and over, what is that quote? If you do something wrong once, it's like by happenstance. If you do it more than once, shame it's a choice.
Shame on you if you do it once. Shame on me if you do it twice.
Yeah, like there's just, you have a chance to identify what you did wrong and not be a victim at all. Even in those moments where like in this case with your podcast, it hurts nobody and it benefits all of them. Whether it's Post Malone or whoever song you use, it benefits them for you posting that on your shit. You're giving them advertisement.
There you go.
But at the same time, if you look at it as, okay, how was it my fault? And it, you don't have a problem again. Yeah. If you learn from your shit and grow.
Yeah. So I took that as, okay, if this is all my fault, even if I'm being accused of something I didn't do, it's my fault that I'm even in this position. I'm going to now cancel doing business with Podbean and move on to my own platform and take it from there.
Yeah.
Now, the last time you and I recorded an episode was about how to find true love, how to find a relationship, maintain it, keep it, have it for forever. And we have such a cool audience of people who are so open-minded, so laid back. I love them. But there was one or two people that we received some, not nasty grams, because even the quote-unquote triggered people don't send us mean things. They just send us very passionate, like, this is how I feel. And we love it. We love different opinions over here. But we had a few who didn't like when we say, if you get cheated on, it's your fault.
Yeah, I think they took it literal. Like,
yeah.
They took it literal, as in, like, well, I didn't take him to the person's house to go cheat on me. It's like, that's not, you're not really understanding what we're trying
really
to say.
What we're about to say is a trigger warning. Because I know being cheated on, being lied to, hey, you are talking to a Scorpio moon and Venus right now. Being lied to and cheated on is the utmost form of trauma next to death. And so, trigger warning, we're going to talk about this. Okay? So fast forward or pause or turn it off.
Yeah.
If you have been cheated on and you're still healing from that and you are not ready to hear this.
Yeah.
So we have both cheated on people.
Yep.
Have I? I don't think I've been like sexually cheated on, emotionally for sure.
I've knowingly been. I've been on both sides of the coin.
Gosh.
I've been cheated on and I've cheated. So I can speak from
both sides.
Both sides.
So would you agree, since you have been traumatized by someone cheating on you and also traumatized by being the cheater, would you say if you get cheated on, it's your fault?
Yes. Yeah.
Why?
So it was my fault in my case because when I go back and look on it and reflect, I was not giving even 80% to the relationship. And why would somebody not cheat on me if I'm giving?
Because you're not fulfilling what they need.
I'm not fulfilling their needs, which means I'm not fulfilling my needs. And if I can't, of course, yeah, should they have enough respect to then not cheat on me? But that's not my job to make sure that they respect me. It's my job to respect me by either, if I can't give 100%, removing myself, or like understanding that if they don't give 100% back, that's they're just they're reciprocating. You know, they're just reciprocating.
This came up for us almost 2 years ago when you were helping a friend through his wife cheating on him. And you stopped and said, man, like, I know this sucks and I'm here for you, but what did you do to yeah. push her over the edge, to push her away? Were you not affectionate enough? Did you go home every night when you said you'd be home? Like, mm-hmm. people don't just go cheat when they're happy.
No.
People go cheat when something is unfulfilled. And is it fucked up to lie and cheat and go behind your partner's yeah. back, even if they are just complete twats that yeah. aren't fulfilling your needs? Of course it is. There's dirty hands on both sides of this. We're not picking sides over here. But remember, I finally was like, well, hey, you had been beating yourself up for cheating for so long. Yep. And I said, well, wait a second. How come you're not giving yourself the same grace and saying, well, what did my ex do to make me go cheat? And you're yeah. like, whoa, I was yep. being too hard on myself. So yeah. when it comes to cheating, there's two sides to every story. Two sides in the truth to mm-hmm. every story. We firmly believe that over here. But when you get cheated on, you know, I coach people on this every day, and I carry them and hold them through the pain and emotions they feel after finding out they've been lied to for so long and don't even recognize who they're with or who they were with. But what did they do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or what didn't they do?
That's whenever I asked this buddy of mine, like, hey, yeah, she cheated a bunch and I see you hurting, but how could you not get cheated on again? And at first he was like, well, I mean, it's just wrong that she cheated. I'm like, yeah, it is wrong. Mm-hmm. You can't control her actions, but what did you do? And then I knew him well enough to be like, well, hey, look, you can't point it out, I'll point it out. You were playing poker every Thursday night and not going home. You were missing your son's baseball games. She was knowingly, like, she was aware that you were choosing fishing over her. Like, I get we all need our alone time and we all need our own things, but were you being verbal with, like, hey, I need me time today, or were you just taking it, doing what you wanted to do, and basically being a halfway single guy with mm-hmm. a wife and kid, mm-hmm. and then expecting her to understand why you needed your time?
Of course.
And at the end of the day, no, she went searching for what she needed. And she were her needs valid in the way she went and searched for them? Maybe not. But you may be triggered by this. You have no say unless you are giving 100% authentically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're not, like in my case, in my past, I had, you know, my partner then had every right to do what she did in the way she wanted to do it, because I wasn't doing what a good man would do.
I hear you beating yourself up again because she didn't.
No, but
it takes two unevolved people. One of you needed to be the bigger person, but in most cases of cheating, both of them aren't. Because you should have said, oh God, I'm not being good enough. I need to talk to her, or I need to just leave her, because clearly mm-hmm. if I'm not giving 100, I'm not into this.
Mm-hmm.
And she needed to be the bigger person by saying, I feel so unfulfilled that I'm now eyeing other people.
That is what this whole thing is about. Like, taking the blame means you're taking the moral high ground. Mm-hmm. It's not my responsibility for somebody else to do what's right. It's my responsibility mm-hmm. for me to do what's right. And if I'm not doing what's right, how could I expect somebody else to do what's right?
Exactly. You cannot. So many times people like to play the victim and like to say, he or she was a narcissist. They're gaslighting me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, blah, 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 blah. What were you doing?
Yeah.
Even if you really, truly were giving it your all, what were you not doing? What were you allowing? Even if you have been the most picture-perfect partner who's worked so hard and has given it your all, and really, you never lied, you never cheated, mm-hmm. you really loved and gave affection, both emotional and physical, you did it all, but you've still found yourself with a narcissist or being gaslit, then it still is your fault, because you chose to stay.
To stay, yeah. It's not saying, like, it's okay for somebody to beat you or emotionally manipulate you. Mm-mm. That's not okay.
Mm-mm.
But it's not okay that you're not doing everything you can to not be in that situation.
Yes.
So it can be. Just, it's your fault for not leaving.
Yeah.
And if you don't, life is so, we all play victim a lot of times with our own shit. We do. Like, you're going to have, like, those moments of, I'm the victim.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can, like, work through, I'm the victim, and then be like, okay, how is this situation my fault? Okay, I felt like I gave 110% to my job, to my partner, to my parents, whatever, to this relationship. I gave everything I could, but yet I'm still here.
Yeah.
So it's my fault for being here in this situation. Still, it's not my fault for the way they treated me. but it's my fault for being here.
Right.
There's where my fault lies. So now, the next time this comes up, whether it's family, friends, or your relationship or work, whatever it may be, you identify that so much quicker. And you're like, ooh, wow, I remember this from my past. Let me not make this my fault in the end. Let me just think this through on the front side. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I remember when before we were even romantically involved with each other, we used to say, yeah, it's a big red flag for me when I meet someone new and we're dating and they say, oh, my ex is such a fucking bitch. Or, oh my God, I just dated a narcissist for like 2 years. It was awful. Those are huge red flags for me because, one, if someone's saying their ex is a piece of shit and they hate him and they're a bitch, you made them like that. Again, yeah. Taking ownership. Yeah. I think everybody has crazy, everybody's got narcissism in them, but it takes someone to push you over the edge.
Yep.
I was just coaching someone about this the other day, and she was saying, oh, I went through his phone, or oh, I threw things across the room, and that is so not me. I'm like, I'm the most optimistic, unicorn, happy person ever, but I've never done that, but he was lying, and I swear, it's not me. I was like, I know it's not you. We all have that rage in us to throw things, hit things, do things, scream, shout, say things we really don't mean.
Yep.
But it takes someone to pull the crazy out of you.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's a test to how far along you are on your it's my fault journey. Mm-hmm. Or not, like, taking ownership journey. Because your reaction is all you can control. You can't control the way somebody's going to react. You can't control what they're going to say, what they're going to do, if they're going to cheat. You can only control what you can control. And that's part of it, too. It's like, okay, I feel like I'm fixing to flip the fuck out and I'm going to be crazy.
Fixing.
But now I have the choice to not make it my fault and not react the way that my ego wants me to react. But we all do it. I mean, I did it the other day. You know what I mean? So. It's just a learning process.
Yeah, it's just very easy. And even the other day when we had our little tiff, of course I wanted to just point fingers at you and say, you're mean, you're a bully, you're this, you're that. But again, I held the mirror up and said, well, this is my choice to stay. If I think he's so mean, such a bully, okay, so he's so mean and such a bully, but you're here.
Yeah.
You're living with him. You're staying. You're not leaving, Steph. So it's your fault. I can't call my friends crying because I'm staying. I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
So I know it's really tough when you're in these toxic situations. Please remember, both of us have been married, divorced, and then in really dense toxic relationships right after our ended marriages.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of experience with these things, and it's your fault.
Yeah. Life is so much better when you look at it as this is my fault. And it won't happen to me again.
Yeah, it's a really, when you say, how is this my fault? If you sit when your heart's crushed and you don't trust anyone anymore and you feel so low, if you were to sit there and say, this is my fault, you'll really get a sense of empowerment.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. Yum.
Yum. So. Wait,
is it? Hello?
It's okay. Working. So I wanted to also on this episode, we have talked about our ended marriages for quite a while. I got a divorce in 2018. What year would you say yours ended?
Jesus. Well, I know when it started. Wait, what divorce? Year did it start?
Yours started in 2018.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Our timelines, it's so weird how we got engaged the same year. Not to each other, to separate people. We were both engaged to separate people the same year.
Yeah.
And then we both had really long engagements.
We both got married the same.
Same exact year, like 2 months apart.
Yeah.
And then we both, technically, I just made mine legal because Colorado is so easy.
Yeah.
And I didn't have kids, so it was as easy as signing papers. Yours, yours began, for sure, in 2018.
Yeah.
Same. Mine ended in 2018.
Yep.
Holy. Same timeline.
Talk about the spiritual connection.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful how we have twin Scorpio moons, but also twin experiences.
Yeah.
Shared experiences with these things. So we really understand how, Jeffrey says hello, how the other operates.
Yeah.
So, but what I wanted to do is, we talk about our marriages a lot. We respectfully don't talk shit about our ex-partners because we don't hate them. They're not terrible people. They're
Again,
not our people. But
everything's your fault.
They're not evil.
If I talk shit about my ex for everyone to hear, or even put that out in the universe,
they say, okay, well, how'd you push her to do that?
Well, then, like, if she talks shit about me and I have this moment of, like, craziness, like the cop deal, then I have to look at it and be like, well, maybe it's my fault I put that out there in the universe. And if you put that kind of energy out, what do you expect to get back?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Would you say that day was your fault?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Oh, I knew it was my fault. Because I knew saying and speaking up for what I was about to speak up for was going to probably cause some shit.
Trigger the F out of her.
And, but whatever, for whatever reason, my spirit guide said do it. And you know what? I wouldn't change it.
That's an interesting situation to apply that principle to. I don't want to go in, I mean, how... Do you feel okay talking about it?
Yeah, I would say like...
Not in detail?
Or? I would say to keep it simple, there's going to be moments where you feel like, okay, I have to speak up right now. And this reaction is going to cause a chain reaction of shit. But something is telling... But I took ownership, period. Like I took ownership on the front side. Like I knew by saying something in this moment, I was going to cause some shit. But at the same time, it's almost like my spirit guides were saying, like, you have to. There won't come any peace unless this chaos happens.
Wow.
And so it's like, oh, no. Fuck. Okay? And so I took on. It's still the same. I took ownership on the front side knowing that if I say something, something could happen. And lo and behold, it did. But I will say, ever since then, things for me and... Yeah. and the way they've gone for us have been completely different.
Yeah, you're right. It has.
So, but I took ownership. Right. I took ownership on the front side.
That, like, Cancer rising has gut feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's true. Everything is our fault. So I wanted to apply it to our marriages because, you know, we've talked about why our marriages have failed. And perhaps some people will assume that we're like, it's our partner, not us. Mm-mm. Of course, it's most certainly not just our partners. Remember, there's two sides to every story in the truth. So when we talk about our failed marriages and our divorces, I hope you guys just remember that there's two sides to every story in the truth. And gosh, this is weird, but I almost wish we could have your ex-wife and my ex-husband sitting right here at like a red table talk.
Yeah.
To share, like, because I would love it. I would love it if he sat there and was like, oh, she did this. She didn't do that.
Yeah.
I would be like, yes, please tell me more. Like, I'm human. I have faults.
Yeah.
I would say, tell me your side of how this marriage ended. I'm almost curious because we haven't spoke since then. And even when we were together and things were okay, we were just not, you know, he was an Aquarius, sun and moon. We don't talk. We talked about happy things and fun things and conspiracies, but that was it. But we would never, ever talk about, hey, I think something's wrong in this relationship. What do you think? Never. So I would be curious what his inner world would say.
I think both. I think both our ex-partners are still not at a place where they could take any kind of ownership, which is okay.
Yep.
So I think the things they would say are the ownership parts of what we would take ownership of. Like by you saying, oh, you know, with my ex-husband, I didn't show him affection.
I was just going to say, this is like, my next question that I want to like debate live on air with them. Or not debate, just share vulnerably. I want to ask myself and you, if the ending of your marriage was your fault, why? I'll go first.
Okay.
What you think about it? Because I can see that Virgo mind going ping, 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 ping. And I already thought about it. It's just simple. Why didn't my... If my divorce was my fault, why? Number one, I was not faithful. I was not completely loyal to him.
Yeah.
Number two, I was not affectionate. Physically affectionate. Physical affection, period, was not there.
Yeah.
At all. And he was a very... His love language... See, I don't even know his love language, which is so scary and sad to me now to know, not know someone's love language or that much about them. I have no idea what his was, but if I could guess, I would say physical touch, and that was the one I just didn't... I completely lacked.
Yeah.
I always tried to make him into the person I wanted him to be without just accepting who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are some big three.
Yeah, I mean, those are those are definitely what it takes to have a healthy relationship.
So I wonder sometimes if he's like, oh my God, this chick, she's a fucking self-help podcast guru, and little do these people know she did this and that and that. Well, here you go. Now they know.
Yeah. That's the best part of taking ownership of everything.
And you're right. I think if he were sitting here and we were like going around the table with him and then your ex, like everybody taking turns to say why it ended, I really do believe that he would say, I did everything I could.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. I know for a fact my ex would say, well, I did everything I could. I was a good, loving wife and a good mom, which I can point out how that's not the case. But that's not what we're here for. But anyways, I'm just kidding. Kind of not. But I know for a fact, if you just gave her the mic and didn't let me talk at all.
Oh, no.
She would say he wasn't affectionate. He chose work over me. Mm-hmm. And he wanted me to be everything he wanted me to be. And not let me be who I really am.
Wow,
we're both the same because
we don't do it to each other. No, though. We accept each other for where we're at.
Yeah,
but maybe it's because you're the person I've always tried to get him to be.
Exactly.
And so now it's like, oh, I can just yes. take back.
You are literally that's it. Because the things that I would say, not in an asshole way, but like, oh, maybe some people think that, but I would say things like, hey, like. You should have, why don't you have any hobbies? Like, go out and do something. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, do you want to, like, you should start a business. You should, like.
Poor girl's probably like, no.
Yeah, but now that we've learned, like,
me.
Human design and astrology and all the things I didn't know before, if I could go back knowing all this shit, maybe I would have never been in a relationship with her because.
Mm-hmm. That's not your type.
No, it's Same. Just, it's, I was, that is literal both of us trying to put a square peg in a round hole.
Uh-huh. Like, and I feel bad because I've known this. I knew this before we even got married. I should have been stronger, more confident, more assured of myself and said, hey, like, no drama llama, but I don't love you like I think a married person is supposed to. I want what's best for you. I still do. I dream of the day. I hope he texts me pictures of his kids he has one day and says, thank you for letting me go because I would have never met her and had my babies. And I'm going to be like, you're so welcome. And I'm sure you still want her to meet someone and have a really good stepfather for the boys. And
You can't want the best for yourself and wish the shittiness on others. Mm. So, like, I want the best for her, not because I care about her, but I want the best for her because she's human. It helps the boys if she's happy. Like, I want her happy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I don't know. Yeah, she would definitely talk some mad shit about me.
See, we're so similar, but we're also so different. Because I don't think mine would, unless he's feeling really petty.
He's an Aquarian.
Yeah.
Like through and through.
Yeah.
His shit talking would be very much like, yeah. I mean, she just didn't love me. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else? And then, my ex is a Libra. So here we go. Trigger warning.
With a
for
Cancer.
Any
moon,
of you Libras listening right now, here's how mine would go. Yeah. JL was just a piece of shit. He fucking cheated on me. I was loyal, loyal, loyal. And I'm absolutely beautiful. Like, look at me. I'm a Libra.
She did like, not dunk
so,
that.
Like, come on. Who wouldn't want this? He is lucky he had this because I'm a diva. I am live, love, laugh. I am all the things. When you look up in the dictionary perfect, it might as well say my name under it.
No, God,
she
not how she talks.
She doesn't talk like that at all. She's very much more Aquarius. But if you gave her an open mic, yeah, she would bash me. But again, it's nothing that if you gave me the mic first on a private recording that I wouldn't tell you on the front side.
Yeah.
So that way when you heard it, you actually wouldn't be surprised. You'd be like, oh wow.
We did that in the beginning of our relationship. Before we even romantically involved, we were just venting about each other's lives, and you had mentioned in passing quite a few times that her family thought this of you, that of you, has done this to you, that to you. So then when we were romantically involved and they found out about it,
yeah,
literally it was play by play of exactly what you had already said.
So yeah.
It still sucked at the moment, but it still helped to be like, oh, he mentioned you, and he was spot on about your character. Okay, I see what we're working with here. Yeah.
It makes life easy when you take ownership of things.
Of everything.
Yeah. You don't have to take ownership of somebody's actions, but if you take ownership of what led to those actions,
mm-hmm.
you'll, the the victim mentality goes away and you're so much happier.
Even if you're like the quote unquote guilty one in the situation where maybe you're listening to this and you're not the victim and you're the one who has cheated and lied and picked people up and put them down consistently, Geminis. Maybe.
Yeah, really?
You know, it's okay. It's okay. It's not okay that you've done that, but it's okay now if you say, okay, wow, I've got to fix my shit because this pain and heartbreak that I have caused people is my fault.
Yeah, same. Like, she cheated on me, my fault. I didn't give the attention where it was needed. I only gave 80% or even 70%, not 100%. There's me taking ownership of that. And then I've cheated. Mm-hmm. And the way I took ownership of that was not looking at what she didn't give me, but very much like, why did I do this? Like, oh, I did this because I'm just not fucking happy in life. And I was looking for fulfillment, apparently. And by me saying, it's because she didn't give me attention or she didn't rub my back. Like, that's why. That's not.
I'm not doing
that. May be a small piece of the pie, but that's not like the real truth. The real truth is I just apparently didn't feel happy with my life. If you're happy with your life, you don't do certain things.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's not pointed at one person. It's.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's pointed at you.
I think cheating isn't just like say you were like, oh, I'm going out with all the construction guys tonight.
Yeah.
There's no way you would go hook up with someone or cheat. No. I know that's just not your demeanor, but I think cheating is a product of a really long-term problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think cheating starts years before it turns physical with somebody else. Do you agree?
There's definitely signs that would make you become aware that something is fixing to happen. And yeah, it doesn't just, I'm sure there's some cases where it just magically happens and maybe it's this twin flame thing, whatever, but there's still going to be signs.
I disagree.
There's still going to be signs.
Even if you meet a quote unquote twin flame, there has been a disconnect from your current partner for so long. I don't care if the most gorgeous Montana rancher man walked by the RV and was like, hey, I breed pugs and I don't have kids and I got
a donkey farm.
I got no emotional baggage. What you doing, girl? It would still be like, ha, you're funny. Because you fulfill me on every piece of the relationship pie.
Yeah.
There's no way. I think when you physically cheat, even if you just emotionally cheat, you have been unfulfilled in so many areas in your relationship, be it sexually, physically, especially emotionally, intellectually. Those have been missing and lacking for so long that you're already able to go kiss, hug, touch, have sex with somebody else, and then go do it again.
Yeah.
And then keep talking to them.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you should have caught yourself. You're right. You should have caught yourself before. Like, you don't just go out and hook up once. You would have gone out. You would either be flirting on social media. You would be flirting, catching yourself flirting out in public. Like, there's things that do lead up to it, for sure. The problem with the victim mentality, too, nowadays, especially, like, in the, you know, you're in the spiritual realm of life, like with Lightworkers Lounge and all this, is that people use spirituality a lot of times to then be a victim or to give a reason on why they did something.
Mm-hmm.
Like I explaining my past and like why when I cheated, remember I always say like I walked in and was like, it's okay. I met my twin flame. Like I don't know if I wasn't like purposefully spiritually bypassing, but I was
using excuse.
Yeah, like I'm using spirituality as
but
a
you were
reason.
Using it to bypass. You legit no, were trying
I thought.
To tell them like, guys, I know we're married and we have kids, but like I found the one.
Yeah. Oh God.
You didn't know any better.
I did.
You were being honest. You know how many people would never who are listening to this and found their twin flame, whether they're married or they are.
Oh God.
They are never gonna go like, I found my twin flame. You were just being honest. And I think it's cute and kind of funny and sad, but it's a testament to your character. You're like, you know what? Okay, they caught me red-handed. I'm just gonna be completely honest.
Yeah.
And tell them I found my spiritual one.
Yeah.
And you thought you did.
Yeah. Lord have mercy.
I know. So everything is your fault. Everything is our fault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Life's just
firmly,
way more beautiful.
Firmly believe in it.
Me too. It's hard. It's hard to apply a lot of times because in the moment of something happening, you want to give an emotional reaction based on what you've been through, your traumas, your current situation. You want them to hurt. Like, you want them to feel the way you feel. But once you do it, like our shit the other day, it's like, wow. If I would have just looked at this as how was this my fault? and not reacted in that moment at all, let the moment pass, and then discussed it later with you, even if you were emotional or not. Like, so now once that moment happens, I can promise you it'll never happen again. Mm-hmm. Because after it was all said and done, I didn't play the victim. And even though in the moment I tried to play victim, I'll never in our relationship ever again play the victim. Well, I shouldn't say never because I'm not perfect, but 99% sure that I'm aware enough now to apply mm-hmm. what the fuck I try and tell people to do, that if I can just take that split second in a moment of us having something we may be going through in the future and just say, hey, how is this your fault? Real quick. And then like mm-hmm. let it work that way.
I would definitely play victim and have the ego melt down for a little bit.
Yeah.
But I would always circle back to, okay, he cheated on me, he lied, mm-hmm. he went behind my back and did sexual things with somebody else. Mm-hmm. What was I doing? Was I on my phone too much?
Yeah.
Did I not look him in the eyes?
Yeah.
Did I stop grabbing him and dancing with him in the kitchen?
Yeah,
Stop making love to him and start having sex with him.
Yeah, the few people who responded.
You'll find something. If you start asking yourself those questions and get real, mm-hmm. get real with yourself, you'll find where the string got cut.
Mm-hmm. There was literally like three or four people who, again, they were like kindly triggered. They weren't even being assholes. Mm-hmm. They just responded like, well,
I was just engaged and he cheated on me.
Yeah.
He just got married.
There's no way this is my fault.
That sucks, but.
You're not.
We looked at their profiles and we were like, ah.
Yeah, it made sense.
I can read you. Our Scorpio moons were like, we can even look at your pictures and your captions and we can see where the relationship got cut.
There's even hope for Libras. You just, sorry if that triggered you. You probably have a better placement somewhere in your moon, your rising, somewhere, Mercury, who knows. But if you look at everything after the fact as it's your fault, not in a way to make an excuse for them, only for your own growth, mm-hmm. you will be so happy mm-hmm. that the next relationship, maybe something happens and you take ownership there. And then you meet the one and it's like, wow, holy shit, we can work through everything. We both take ownership. Like this is like mm-hmm. some people it may happen right away. For me, it definitely didn't. Yeah. It took years and years and years to play victim and make excuses. And, you know, even with work, like the shit where if you hear noises, like we're sitting at my job site right now and the stuff that's happening this morning at my job site, it's like, well, if I would have listened to my gut and not let my emotions say, okay, I want to help this concrete guy make some money. And I would have said, nope, all about business, all Virgo. My gut said, you might mess up. And if he started messing up like he did, it's my fault. I kept him around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
It's my fault. So.
You know what I used to do in my 20s? I used to do like, and it was subconscious, like a tit for tat. Like, if my ex-husband would rather watch football all day, and when I would say like, hey, how are you? And he would just like, good, without even looking at me.
He would keep score.
I'd be like, okay, you want to good me? Then I'm going to go DM someone and have a really good conversation.
Yeah.
Or, hey, if you lied to me, okay. I invented the game. I'll keep lying to you.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And really, that ended with you. Because even my relationship after my ex-husband, I was still like, oh, okay, you have a secret Instagram account I just found out about, okay? I can make one too. That's probably an unevolved Scorpio coming out of me. But it ended with you because you taught me that in order to, even if someone is cheating on me, playing tit for tat like that is mm-hmm. just going to keep the merry-go-round going.
Yeah.
When you fully taught me this by example, but also through our conversations as friends and lovers, that you feel so much better, you attract so much better when you just show up authentically. And so that's why I've always told you the truth, always been so loyal to you, because that's what I want.
Yeah.
And whether or not you return it, like if you fuck it up, that's your loss. And then I go on my merry way to have a really loyal, and that feels really good. So all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't have to play this stupid tip tac game because it goes nowhere.
No.
Why do we do that? Did you do that ever?
No, I didn't do tit for tat. I was just very shitty in my emotions towards somebody when they were shitty to me. So it wasn't like, oh, you hurt me, I'm gonna hurt you. It was very much like, you hurt me, I'm just gonna be cold.
Mm-hmm.
I'm checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it could go from, you know, my ex hurting my feelings to then actually being authentic and asking me a very thoughtful question and me being like, what? Sorry, I didn't hear you when I fucking heard it. Like, so I guess it still is a tit for tat. It's just not tit for tit. It's just, yeah. It's like, oh, you hurt me. I'm just not going to respond to you. Which, in my mind, was hurting them.
But it's so, just like that. It just keeps the merry-go-round going.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't do anywhere. Any good at all. I think people get too worried. I don't know. Something with the spiritual community and always having to feel like you're perfect you're not spiritual.
You're human, like, and I hope this episode makes you realize you are a spiritual being having a human experience.
Yeah, it's not the other way around. Mm-mm. It's a beautiful life we get to live while we're here shortly, but like the comparison game is what hurts a lot of us too. Like if I look at Instagram right now and I try and compare myself to Drew or one of the people who is very much into the spiritual world and they seem on the outside like a perfect person, but I guarantee if I were to have a conversation with Drew, he would be like, oh, dude, I struggle with this. I have a hard time with this. Like you only see the highlight reel, mm-hmm. even though I show some of the real stuff. Like this, the spiritual world in your mind makes you think that because you see 11-11, that you're always going to be a great person. And that's not the case.
Or you see two spiritual people who everyone says we're twin flames. And it's funny that we don't even talk about it anymore like we used to. It's like, yeah, sure, maybe we are. I don't know. I don't care. But I just hope that the episode's like this. Because even there's still so much to us that we don't share. Mm-hmm. As vulnerable as we are in this microphone.
Yeah.
That when I do my private coaching calls with these people and I do share a glimpse of the reality of some things we go through, people are just shocked.
Yeah.
You guys go through what? You do what? And it's like, of course, we're humans. But I forget how incredible it is for us to have conversations like this, not only on a microphone, but these are the conversations we have on or off air.
Yeah.
Until I go talk to complete strangers, like a 62-year-old couple getting divorced with teenage kids, and it's like we're something else.
Yeah. But again, our foundation from the beginning was friends without any expectation of a relationship. So I was telling you about going to strip joints and sticking my face between ass cheeks. Like you literally knew me. Like
you're like, I pulled up in my sports car, my Corvette. Yeah. Cool. I was like, hey, you're so dumb.
Sending you the last audio, fixing to walk in this bar, just pulled up in the Corvette. Yeah. Like no big deal. When I get out, doves fly and people are going to be like, oh my God, JL's here. Yeah. Like actually that never happened.
I laughed and you was like, okay, you freaking dork, enjoy. But remember I said something like pulled you out of your little buzz and you were like, whoa. And I was like, of course you're going to attract a lot of pretty mm-hmm. girls tonight, but do they want you or do they want your car?
Yeah. Do they want me as a
money
tree?
Do they want Baby J or mm-hmm. do they want the cool character mask?
Yep.
And you were like, oh. I think we were sending Instagram videos because I saw your face. And you were like, well, I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Yeah, I'm going to go eat at this food truck that's really dope out here, but I'll keep that in mind. Yeah, we are just.
Was it in that moment you knew I loved you?
It was in that moment that I knew I really wanted to go to a food truck with you. I think I sent you a video. There was a food truck, and you were like, yo, it looks like a dope spot.
So fun, there's live music.
Yeah. Damn, but again.
I still remember when we did start kind of dating. We weren't official girlfriend and boyfriend, but you went out for margaritas with.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And you, I was like, okay, have fun. I was like wearing a face mask.
I FaceTimed you when I got inside.
Yeah, 2 minutes later. I'm like, why is he FaceTiming? Oh, maybe he forgot something. And you're inside showing me all the people you're with. I was like, I am in bed with a face mask on. What are you doing? Yeah. You're like, look, I'm at the bar. I was like, yeah, that's really cool. Go take traumas. A shot for me. Like, why are you calling me right now? This is so awkward.
Yeah, my traumas were coming out. But
you were like, look, there's Mike, there's Rachel, there's it. They're all here sitting at the bar with me. And I was like, yeah, can I go take my face mask off now? This is really fucking awkward.
I would advise people. I just don't know how you could do it because we were long distance and that's how it all worked out with friends. But like to attract the one, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't date somebody with the planted thought of like, oh my God, they're so hot. I want to have sex with them. At that moment, I would be like, oh, I've got to remove myself because now I've just made it all physical. Like, somehow trying to find a friend and then grow on your friendship and then watching what happens is basically what we did.
Yeah. We found each other and we were not looking. I think that's key. I feel, but I don't know. We can't. We talk about this all the time. We don't understand. Yes, because we're Scorpio moons. But also, it's like, how do you meet people? Like, what if I were to die tomorrow and you start dating again? What would you do? Would you go on a dating app? Would you
Would
you go to a bar? Would you go? How would you go find a new chickadee?
I wouldn't be looking for one. I'd be hiking in Moab, and I'd be taking Layla and Moosh to dog parks.
Cute
and
girls like Ariel on Instagram. No. Like, hey,
I definitely couldn't do that. She looks just like you. I would just cry. Even if I went on a date with her, I'd look at her and just start crying. She'd be like, "What the fuck's wrong with you?" I'd be like, "You look just like Steph." But I would do the things that I just enjoyed doing. And even though those moments of loneliness are going to come up and I'm a man, those sexual things are going to come up. Like, I would not, even if I had to force myself for some reason, I wouldn't go chase those emotions. Mm-hmm. I would just go do things with the type of people that I want to hang around with. Like, find a group of dudes like the Andrew guy that's out in Moab right now with his dog and take Layla and Moosh and go hang out. And then those are the moments and the times that you're actually going to find what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's like Rachel, yoga girl, when she came on the podcast. She explained how she met her husband, Dennis, and she went to Aruba for vacation and she wanted to go learn how to surf. Went to a local surf shop. Boom, there's Dennis.
Yeah.
Her husband.
Yep.
She wasn't looking. She wasn't going out drinking and dancing in Aruba to the nightclubs to find. She was like, I want to go teach myself, by myself, how to surf. Let me go check out the shop. Boom, there he is.
A lot of the times I find, not always, but some of the times I find these really beautiful relationships, like Mark and them. I've never once heard like Mark or Kylie or a lot of these people that I've kind of watch say, oh, the moment I saw them, I just thought, wow, they're so fucking hot.
Uh-uh.
No, never once. So those are kind of the words that I look at. Like, if I never met you, I would hope that I got to a spot where if I were, you know, somebody crossed my path, I hope the first thought through my mind would never be, oh my God, look at that ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew you were absolutely beautiful. You could look at your fucking pictures before we met. But never once, promise you, did I think, oh my God, she is fucking gorgeous. I gotta be in bed with her. Those kind of thoughts never came in my mind.
She's gonna look so good on my arm.
No, you were just my best friend that I talked about strippers and weird shit with.
You know, we still say, like, it's weird for you to ever tell me, even today, like, you're so beautiful, you are sexy. We still just don't. I tell you that, especially when I'm ovulating.
You're all Scorpio.
All right, thanks for tuning into the podcast. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us in the motorhome. It is getting hot in here, so we need to stop and open windows so the doggies can breathe. Gosh, we didn't even mention Layla.
No.
She's going to be next week probably if Rose. But we have a new member of the family.
Me.
In a nutshell, please go on my personal Instagram and read the full story because we got a dip, but I went to the dog park in Lubbock, Texas, so random, took Jeffrey, our pug, and lo and behold, there was a stray 8 to 10 week old puppy trying to get in the park with whatever energy she had because she was so malnourished, so dehydrated in that hot Texas heat, and next thing I know, she's in the motorhome with us.
Bring her.
She is, and we named her Layla. She's a shepherd, lab, golden retriever mix. She's so sweet. We're going to have Rose, the animal communicator, come on the podcast and read her and talk about how serendipitous it was that
I'm going to cry.
I know you are. Her and I found each other. And what does Jeffrey think of her? It's going to be such a good episode. So I didn't even think of it. You guys did. You guys DM me on Instagram. We're like, you got to have Rose.
I know.
So this is going to be good.
It's going to be real good.
So thank you guys for riding with us as always, and especially through this episode. I hope if you made it this far, you're not too triggered, you're not feeling low about yourself. And a lot of people with this residual Scorpio full moon we had, shadows are burning. Today's a 555 day. It's May 5th, 2021. Wow. Lots and lots of changes. We have to... Oh, I was just telling it to my best friend this morning. I had a really good quote. We have to... Something with ours to replace. You have to, like, burn down things to replace them with better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things are being resurrected. Shadows are coming up to be burned down, to replace them with better. And I hope this episode taught you guys, like, we are so happy and in love, and I still look at him even years later, and it feels like the first time. We don't even realize how long we've been together until we're like, oh, you've known Jeffrey since he was a puppy? Holy shit, we've known each other so long, because every day waking up next to you feels like the first time.
Yeah.
Look at your face twitching.
I would.
You're not used to love.
I'm not.
Oh.
I would say if you took anything away from the episode, it would, like a cliff note, would be you're not perfect, and you have to accept the fact that you're not perfect, and the sooner you start
It empowers you.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt you. It empowers you. I know it's really scary to say, this is my fault, especially when you are crushed and you lost trust for not only that person, but everyone now. You're like a scared puppy like Layla in the corner of a fence. Like, fuck, this sucks.
Well, if she has taught me anything, it is that even when you have every reason to say fuck love, fuck life, fuck this,
you never know.
You have, if you can find it in you to love one more time, something beautiful can happen. Like, look at her.
Yeah.
She had every right to be like, fuck humans, fuck this,
the
I'm done.
The first time we met in Lubbock, Texas, is even more synchronistic with Layla. That's the first place we met in person after talking online for so long.
Yeah.
And you met me when I was at my emotional lowest. I mean, my eyes were so puffy and red from crying for the past 4 days. I didn't eat. Like, that's great first impression. But, yeah. And I had to somehow muster up the courage to love you and open up again.
One more, like, I know I use Mike Posner's deal as a physical, like, one more step to keep me going and running. But at the same, if you can live by that motto, like, one more step. Like,
keep going.
One more love. Like, I feel empty. Just one more this, one more that. Like, something always, something beautiful always comes. Always.
Replenished.
Yep.
So, from two previously broken people to two very whole people who are experiencing a love that deep down we always knew existed, but maybe we never felt like we'd be worthy enough or lucky enough to receive it, keep going.
Yes. I like it.
Thanks for having one of our daily conversations with the podcast recording with me.
It's no different than the combos we have without it on. So
this is our brekkie and dinner conversations that we're letting you in on.
Sometimes they get even more in depth when Mike's not even on.
Oh, yeah. I wish we had, like, little recorders.
We just need our own TV show.
We do. Ask our iPhone. Who knows? We're probably going to get, like, relationship coaching programs being advertised to us on Instagram right now.
We need our own TV show. So, well, thank you for having me on, baby girl.
You're welcome. You need to go get back to work.
I need to go check on these people that are very smart, and it's my fault. Remember that, my fault.
Sending you guys so much love from Roswell with a new puppy and Jeffrey the OG pug, of course. We're going to end this podcast and every future podcast with our song that we do have the rights to by an incredible artist, Soul Rising. The song that you hear in the beginning and also now the end of every episode is called The Light. Please find him on Spotify and on Instagram at Soul Rising. He's such a cool, incredibly talented dude. I love him. He's wonderful. So if you guys would like to book a birth chart reading or a one-on-one intuitive session that I mentioned throughout the show, go to lightworkers-lounge.com and be sure to follow us on Instagram at Stephanie's_destiny and at lightworkers_lounge. Now there's a plane flying overhead, but of course, I gotta go. I'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.